He's absent.
Okay, I'd like to open the meeting. Roll call, please. We're missing Mr. Phil Miller. The rest are here. Mr. Bernie Rex, could you please leave with it? And the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Recognition for A-plus community members. Ms. Carroll. Board.
Hello, I'm Jolie Carrion, and I'm the Coordinator of Student Discipline and Attendance, and tonight we are recognizing five officers from Yuba County Sheriff's Department, and so as our A-plus district community partner. I'm going to start off with Lieutenant Barnes. About 4 years ago, we started looking at our safety plans, and Lieutenant Barnes and actually Tommy Oaks came to the meeting that I invited law enforcement to, and we went over our safety plans, and they gave us some suggestions and additions and all of those things. And from that point, we started really building our relationship with the Sheriff's Department and doing working together to make our school safer. And that's when we came up with the color cards, the color-coded cards for the lockdown, which coincides with the SWAT team's color cards on theirs. So, and then we met every Tuesday, which probation puts together our gang meetings, and two of his deputies, Martin and Dollywell, also are on that, and we meet every Tuesday for that, but we also meet every month our safety meeting with administrators, and so because of the coordination with Lieutenant Barnes, we were able to do that. If you look around and you see these aerial photos that are surrounding our district office, Lieutenant Barnes coordinated that, and we were able to get most of our schools. I think we're missing a couple, and that was my fault because I was getting really sick. I was like, oh, God, just land. But so we have those aerial photos of our schools, which is really important. And in case of an emergency, we're able to look at it from different angles and all of that. So, and then after Sandy Hook, we had a parent meeting, a safety meeting that was here, and Lieutenant Barnes again stepped up to the plate and fielded a lot of really tough questions from the community and did a really amazing job. We had two district-wide lockdown drills that Lieutenant Barnes was there, as well as getting his other staff members, and so all of our schools were covered with officers during that time. And so I just want to say thank you so much, because I call him whenever I have a question about something at a school site. Should I call this? Should I do that? And you always return my calls, and the schools really appreciate your effort in making our schools safer. So thank you. And next we have Deputy Martin, and Deputy Martin is on the gang task force. He comes every Tuesday to our meetings. He's helped with truancy, sweeps, home visits. He coordinates Yuba Gardens. They had the graduation, made sure all the volunteers were there for graduation. Lyndhurst, always going out there to help with Lyndhurst, any type of gang. And he's done numerous gang presentations for our schools, including the after-school program. And so he's great, and he also makes our schools that much safer. So thank you, Deputy Martin. I guess I'll just shake your guys' hand after. Anyway. Next we have Deputy Dollywall. He also is on the gang task force under Lieutenant Barnes, and he attends gang meetings every Tuesday. And he's done truancy sweeps with us, home visits on those really hard home visits to be able to go out. And he also attends some of the gang meetings, the presentations as well with Deputy Martin. And he's also quick to be out at our county schools and help with anything we need. And we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And then we have Sergeant Phil Spadini. He has not missed one safety meeting that we have every month for our district. He participated in the lockdown drills, was at the school site, making sure his officers were there as well. He has a quiet presence, and he's just not intimidating, which we really appreciate. We're able to ask silly questions, because when you look at what law enforcement and how the schools do business, it's completely different. So I'm sure we seem kind of goofy when we ask them the questions. And he never makes us feel dumb. There is not a dumb question with Sergeant Phil Spadini, and we really appreciate all the input and things to make our school safer. And thank you very much. And last but certainly not least, we have Sergeant Tommy Oakes. And again, he was the first one also with Lieutenant Barnes that came and looked at our safety plans, added additions, really is easy to speak with when we have questions and has great ideas coming from a human perspective as well as a law enforcement perspective. He got the drug dogs out to our schools. And even at Marysville High School, the Yuba County Sheriff's Department had a drug dog go out to their school, and Sergeant Oakes, coordinated that. He also went up to Foothill and went over their lockdown procedures because some of the classrooms don't have doors on it, so he spoke to the staff about what they could do in an active shooter situation, and they felt much better about it. And he's also... You've gone to other staff as well and answered, I know, at Yuba Gardens as well and other schools, and we really appreciate. He comes to our safety meetings monthly, too, and you do a great job. So thank you for making our schools safer. So just one more thing. I can just say without a doubt that our schools in Yuba County are safer because of the leadership of the Yuba County Sheriff's Department, Lieutenant Barnes, Sergeant Spadini, Sergeant Oakes, Deputy Dollywall, and Deputy Martin, and all of the officers of Yuba County Sheriff's Department. Thank you so much for your continued partnership with Marysville Joint Unified School District.
Thank you so much for being here tonight. I am a little worried about the community. We're feeling safe. Oh, good. Okay. Then I don't feel so bad. You can go. You've been dismissed.
Are these yours?
I believe Mr. Lane has a few plaques up here and has earned some bragging rights. So, here you go. The microphone is all yours.
Thank you. Well, that was a tough act to follow there. Transportation, we just wanted to take the opportunity to give the board an update and kind of recognize some of the people that we have that have just done an outstanding job for us, not just this year, but every year. Some of the buses in our lot, you can really tell the focus for Marysville compared to all the other districts you go to. I get asked all the time, why are our buses shinier than everybody else's? And I tell them we work harder. The buses that we have, we steadily work on updating what we can. We take advantage of every grant opportunity there is. The small buses that we have are special needs. In 2010, we upgraded. We bought 15 new buses and took back all of the special needs. That's worked out very well for us. The quality of ride that our special needs kids have is better than anywhere. The drivers we have are outstanding. The buses are kept up really well. I would like to point out that those buses that we bought in 2010, the high mileage ones are up to 125 to 150,000 miles on them right now. So it's something that we have to just keep looking at. We didn't get those on a grant. There was just no way to do that. So we had to purchase them outright. The big buses, Mr. Fleury, he knows these buses real well. 13 is the old one that we're just taking out of service right now. It's a three-axle crown, and we have people that are actually teary-eyed over getting rid of the darn thing. None of my mechanics. My driver trainer raised his hand. But it's a 90-passenger bus. Schools like it because they can put 90 kids on it for a field trip. Mechanics hate it because it's going out of town. I almost need to send a mechanic with it. It's at that point. But it's going out. We got the new, brand new, state-of-the-art Thomas bus that just came on board. We just got it up and going. It's a really good deal to work for all the grants and to get those. Our mechanical staff, this year we have CHP inspections. It's funny to me. I go to the barber shop on a regular basis, you might think. People think that we have the whole summer off, everybody that works here. Well, for us, the summertime for the mechanics is a busy season. We have to get all the buses up and have CHP come in and inspect. They do the big buses over the summer. We do all the small buses, typically over the Easter break. This year, we've been shorthanded. We were down a head mechanic and one of our senior mechanics, so there was quite a workload. And our guys really stepped up to the plate, did outstanding. We did the best CHP inspection we've had since I've been here, which is something. We lead the area with CHP. They have a new guy, and he comes in. He trains by coming through and doing our buses. That's how high of a level that we operate at. So it worked out really well. So we'd like to take the opportunity to recognize you guys. John Murray's not here. That works well. Through no one's fault, he's not actually in the picture. He runs the Challenge shop up in Challenge, and just an outstanding mechanic. One of those people that when you're up there, I'm up there all time of day for different problems, and you never have to worry if John's in the shop working on something. You pull in there, he's just a self-starter, just an outstanding mechanic. A lot of people don't know, but we have snow days. Snow days start for me about 4 o'clock in the morning and for John about the same time. And we have to worry about which buses get chains on them, which roads are closed down because we have too much accumulation of snow. So we're running the roads with the snow plows, making sure that we can get the buses up there. And John's a big critical part of that. Plus, he's very soothing for the drivers. It's like Chicken Little syndrome. If we get a big bunch of snow up there, everybody's in a panic about it. You send John down, and they just ooze them and awes them, and I go up, and we get through the day. We never panic. We don't close the schools down unless absolutely necessary, knowing we have to make that time up. Sometimes a driver will want to close the school thinking that they get to go back and put their jammies on. It doesn't work out that way. Let's see, Carl Hart. Carl's done a great job for us as a bus mechanic. Just can't thank you enough for stepping up the plate and doing more than your share. Thank you. Eric Williams. Eric's another outstanding mechanic. Just always does more than his share. Anything that comes up that I need taken care of, I can assign it to Eric and know it's taken care of. I really appreciate all your hard work.
You're welcome.
Randall Lee. Randy here's an outstanding mechanic. Has helped us so much with his. He came from Ford. He's a late model Ford guy, so he knows everything there is to know about Fords. And he's applied that and his electrical expertise to all of the buses. Anything that's electrical, we pretty much steer it his way. And it's worked out really, really well. I appreciate all your work. Christopher Colton. Chris is relatively new to us. We stole him away from the city of Yuba City, and it's one of the best things I ever did. Just been an outstanding mechanic all the way across the board, can work on anything that we have. Just could not be happier with him. In your career, there'll be a couple times, I think, that where you peek out and you have where everything clicks together, and we're just about there. The guys we have are just outstanding. The people that we've picked up, we were short a head mechanic. Would you stand up, Henry? This is Henry Stevie. retired from the Air Force out of Beale, has came on and doing an outstanding job for us. Couldn't be happier with him. You guys can. Thank you. Our school bus rodeo team, like to recognize them this year, first place state. Michelle Derryberry. You guys that come to these things on a regular basis have seen her a number of times. This is one of the absolute best bus drivers, period. We've been to the Nationals. She is just outstanding. And, it does my heart good to watch her drive. Ron Phillips. Michelle made first place with the elite division, which is the highest level of bus driver. Ron placed second. Ron does a great job for us with everything that he does. My standard line to him is I'd like to have him cloned. And then Tana Davis. These guys placed first place team this year for Northern California. Tana's one of our rodeo drivers. She's an absolute great driver. Unfortunately, she's driven all my grandkids, so all my family, they think she is family. Thank you for the job you do. And we just have one more award that we've never given out before, and it's Employee of the Year. There's a story here. There's actually a sign in here that says Patterson. She married recently, and I keep calling her by her name from before, so that's why the font's so big on this, and I've been warned 900 times. I woke up at night dreaming about calling her by the wrong name. So, Dawn, if you'd please come up. Transportation, this year has been a difficult year. With dispatch, we have a long-term someone out with cancer, stage 4 cancer. So it's been absolutely terrible. And dispatch is hell if you're from a transportation department. There's no other way to explain it. The first 3 weeks of school, phone's ringing off the hook. It's terrible. Dawn has absolutely stepped up to the plate more than anybody. She has just done an outstanding job. And this goes on till 11:30 at night. You know, drivers call in sick. She's got to reroute. How do we have somebody on the route? She's just done an outstanding job. Even in the shop, in the absence of a head mechanic, all of the mechanics and I joke that she is the head mechanic. She's out there making sure the buses are up and ready to go. She has just stepped up so much. It's just unbelievable. So I'd like to award her with the Employee of the Year, and she absolutely deserves it. I'd take her into combat anytime. Again, in transportation, this has been a really difficult year, and your average parent out there wouldn't have a clue because it's gone so smoothly, and it's attributed to those people, especially Dawn. She's just done an outstanding job. She drives me nuts. She'll call me at 11 o'clock at night with special needs kids. Well, this kid, this is the behavior problem. Can we put him with this other kid? You know, it's something that you're working on all the time. It's a very thankless job. Nobody wants to be told what to do. especially the people that don't have the initiative to do what they should be doing in the first place. So dispatch has to tell them. So just outstanding employee. Thank you very much, all of you guys. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you both for all your help.
Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for the presentation, Mr. Lane. Excellent job. Comments from the board members. Mr. Harris? Mr. Danable? Mr. Reck?
I'd like to mention something that happened in the great graduations for everybody that I saw at the MCAA. I did the MCAA in Marysville High School, and that was great. I stopped by the district office, and I just happened to walk into Jolie's office, and she and her crew put together this guide, emergency guide for the schools. And I started going through it. Jolie, I want to congratulate you. This is a terrific asset to teachers in the classroom.
Mr. Fleury. Mr. Boone. All right. This is the opportunity for the employee organizations to address the board. That's it? Hi, back. Anyone else? Now is the time for public comments. I have no cards in front of me, but if anyone would wish to address the board, please feel free to. Okay, and time for the superintendent's report. Dr. Todd?
In keeping with the trend this evening, I'm going to pass on the superintendent's report.
Okay, we have a variety of minutes here. Approval of minutes. First regular meeting, minutes from the regular board meeting of May 27th, 2014. Mr. Reck was absent. Do I have a motion for approval? We have a motion of approval from Mr. Danable. Do I have a second?
Second.
A second for Mr. Harris. All in favor? Aye. And one abstain. Thank you. Minutes from special board meeting June 11th and minutes from special board meeting of June 12th. This will be one motion combined in two.
I'll make the motion.
Mr. Danable makes the motion for approval. Do I have a second? Second for Mr. Boom. All in favor? Please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Consent agenda. The board is requested to approve the consent agenda items under superintendent, educational services, categorical services, personnel services, business items, and purchasing department. Please refer to the details. All items on a consent agenda are considered routine or have been discussed before the meeting.
I would like to put one thing. I just had a question. Number two, educational services, number two.
Number two, educational services for Mr. Fleury will be pulled. Anyone else on the board? If not, then Dr. Todd?
Do you want to take action on the other items first?
Yeah, well, do we'll take items that we want to consider number two. Well, let's take items on the consent agenda with the exception of number two in the education. Do I have a motion for approval?
I'll move for approval except for educational services number two of the consent agenda.
We have a motion with the exception of number two for Mr. Rick and a second for Mr. Danable. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Okay, now we'll look at number two, please. Mr.
I just had a question. I understand that Lenny was on vacation. It says 50,000, and when I read back in the reports, it looks like it's 50,000 a year for 3 years. So I want to know, is it 50,000 we're paying for? Is it 50,000 for 3 years?
I don't know that question. The answer to that question off the top of my head, it is a per pupil, and I do believe it is an annual. It is $550 per student, and so it's an annual. And if you notice further down in the report, we have used measured progress data-wise, which was about $32,000 more annually. So this is a cost reduction, and it is a program that the principals and the teachers believe is more closely aligned to our Common Core state standards and provides them more resources than the other assessment tools.
Yeah, I understand that. I was just wondering if it's $50,000 or it's going to be 3 years of $50,000 a year.
Yes, it is.
Okay. That's my question.
Any other questions on item two? Would you entertain a motion then for approval?
Sorry.
We have a motion by Mr. Fleury. Do I have a second? Second, Mr. Denable. All in favor? Approval
aye.
Number two?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Senator Janet, always go by. Okay. We are new business, resolution 2013-14-34. Excuse board member attendance and meeting of the Board of Trustees. Do I have a motion for approval?
I'll make the motion.
A motion by Mr. Danable. Do I have a second? Second by Mr. Boom. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. And one abstain, please. That'd be Mr. Rick. Next is the superintendent's district LCAP approval.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Crawford. Tonight you have before you the same item that we went through step by step last week when we held our public hearing to talk about the various components which align with the California School Boards Association, not school board, California Board of Education recommended 8 priorities. And so what you have before you is a revised edition of the LCAP. It was provided in your board packet. With some minor revisions based on comments, questions, requests for clarification, I have worked closely with the president of MUTA on a couple of the items to where I think we're both happy with the current format. And certainly as we move through the 3 years of this LCAP, there will be revisions and we'll further perfect it as we begin to understand some of the nuances. And so at this point in time, my recommendation to the board would be to approve the LCAP as it is in its current format.
Thank you, Dr. Todd. Do I have questions from Dr. Todd?
A lot of reading.
Yes. That's information number 5.
I have one question. On page 12 of 22 at the bottom, the need to assure compliance, safeguard assets, and funding. That was for the new in-house auditor, correct?
Yes, the first part of that is speaking specifically to the internal auditor and compliance officer.
I can't support that $90,000 a year. We haven't had problems with our audits. Our last CBO put in a lot of safeguards. We did have a few issues here and there. And in the last 2 years, we have had no findings on our outside audit, period. Not even from one of the school sites. We haven't even had an ASB finding. So I would like to see that item pulled off of this before it's finalized. And I also have a question on page 20 of 22, the second item from the bottom. This is a categorical specialist, and this replaced somebody that's been retired. And how long ago did the person that was in this position retire?
The person retired approximately 1 year ago, and I think if you remember back to our meeting last week when this item was brought up, you saw a lot of principals' heads nodding, saying yes. There was definitely a lack of service and support for them as they work through their categorical budgets to make sure that funds are moved to the right accounts and that they are available for the expenditures. There was a huge backlog. We had hoped that it was a service that could be picked up through the business services department. As you know, there's been some transition in that department as well. The person who was going to be helping out left for another job, which caused there to be a great delay and a great backup of funding that needed to be moved and expenditures that really were not able to be done in a timely manner. And you can see some principal heads in the audience nodding as well. So it has been an identified need, and it will be partially funded through categorical funding and partially through the LCAP.
Well, my concern was that somebody's been doing this for the last year, and I understand that, you know, they want to bring it back. I don't have a problem with that, bringing it back. But if there was a lack of services and stuff, why were they not getting those services out of whoever was doing that, and which was coming out of categorical? So,
and as I stated, that the person who was going to take it over left the district for other employment, and right. So it kind of fell on the plates of folks who already had very full plates, as it turned out to be. And so it is something that I thoroughly back and recommend, so that funds can be expended in a timely manner. And, you know, the funds that we receive in categorical accounts are to be spent on this year's students and not left to the springtime to be spent on students that are moving through to the next grade. So there was great delays, best efforts on everyone's part to make sure that that didn't happen, but the actuality is it was not a good plan, and this will ensure that those funds are available to the sites for appropriate and timely expenditures.
Thank you.
Any other board members? Mr. Harris.
I would just like to say that with the first part of Jeff's statement, I agree. We've had no compliance issues. We've had nothing. We had two clear, complete, clean audits. And that first one, I don't particularly think we need that. I know we need some sort of internal audit form, and I think we have that with what we have now. But the second one, you know, I don't have a problem with.
Would anyone else like to address these matters? Either one? Mr. Fleury.
Well, I look at that, and I know that if it was in there, we've got a new business manager. He must feel it's necessary to have it, and I trust our business manager to put that in there. I think it's just another checks and balances that we need to make sure we have checks and balances, even though we had clear audits. We need to make sure we have checks and balances all the way through this district.
Thank you, sir. Would you like to make any comment, Ryan, on regards to that?
Yeah, I mean, speaking to clean audits, we've had, I came from a district that had relatively no significant items. In the first year, we had an investigation because of the safeguarding of assets in which I had to self-qualify the district. So that's not necessarily an indicator. An audit is just a sampling. To have someone internally to oversee what we do here is important, because we don't have the county oversight that we would have in some other places. It is public money, and we take that very seriously, so we have to safeguard those assets. There's another component to it that goes beyond just the safety. IT has become extremely important in financial reporting. So for us, about having accuracy and operational efficiency, we need somebody to work on that system. Luckily, we have a very talented director of technology who's been able to support us, but he doesn't have the financial knowledge to fully support that system. This will provide the opportunity to ensure that we're using that system to its fullest capabilities, and to, most importantly, accurately report financial information, and also develop internal controls. I understand we do have some internal controls, but internal controls are extremely important, not only to detecting issues, but to pointing out issues that can be more operationally efficient. And ultimately, our goal is to save the district money in areas and be able to funnel that to more student-oriented expenses. So there's a lot of goals with this, and just like anything else in the accountability plan, if it's not working as intended, then we can make adjustments.
So you think that this position
It can. You have to see how things work and obviously measure it and see what we can do and see what's developed. I mean, this is a kind of it really protects not myself as much as it does the superintendent of the board, because it's really somebody that can come to you and say, well, this is what I've noticed. And that's an important function, I think, with in today's society. We definitely need to understand that this is not any one of our individual money. It's taxpayer money. So we'll do whatever we have to safeguard those assets. Obviously, if that person is able to notice something that we're doing that's inefficient, then that will save money, and we'll chart the progress that we make.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions? Now, Mr. Boom, just for clarification purposes, it's the total LCAP. Did you want to make a motion eliminating that one that we vote on separately? It's your pleasure.
Well, we don't have to do it as a separate motion. I mean, we can if you would like, but we could do it all in the same motion, and either it's approved or if it's approved by the majority of the board. If not, then the LCAP would stand the way it's written. I'm not convinced, just because I feel like that's part of the CBO's job and the work that he should be doing. So adding another $90,000 position.
Well, no, this is good and bad unless we try it, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
All right. And when do we come back and revisit that, Ryan?
Yearly, I would think.
Next year?
Yeah, every year the LCAP is adjusted. If it's something where you don't feel we're making adequate process, then we can look at it again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Then, Mr. Boone, would you entertain the approval?
Yeah, I'd like to make. Is there anybody else in the audience first that wants to speak to the issue?
Speak on the LCAP.
I mean, this is on this agendized item. No? Okay, then I would like to make a motion that we accept the LCAP as written, other than page 12 of 22, the last item on that page, it to be pulled.
There's a motion on the floor to accept the LCAP as written, with the exception of
the specific position you're speaking of, Mr. Boom, is the internal auditor and compliance officer.
Auditor and compliance officer. Okay, so a yes vote would be in accepting the LCAP in its entirety and without. Correct. So there's no problem with that. Are we going to have an understanding on that?
No.
We'll take a roll call separately.
If you accept the motion as I made it, then we would pull that one item from the LCAP. If you disapprove or vote no, then you would accept the LCAP in its entirety.
So we have a motion. Do I have a second, Mr. Boone? We have a second for Mr. Danipal. All in favor, please signify by saying yes.
We have to do a roll. We have a yes and a no.
Well, I realize that. I just want a clarification on the yes and no. I didn't want a problem with that.
Clarify yes or no.
Okay.
Witness a yes vote.
A yes vote would be in agreement with Mr. Boom in withdrawing the $90,000 position. Am I correct, Mr. Boom?
Yes.
So that would be a yes vote. So, Mr. Boom, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Fleury?
No.
No. Mr. Reck?
No.
No. Mr. Crawford? No. Mr. Danable?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Harris?
No.
No. The motion fails with a vote of 4-2. Can we answer?
I think we need another motion.
Another motion, I believe.
No.
The motion fails 4-2, so it will be LCAP will be received in its entirety with that position in. Okay, number two on the agenda, MCAA. Excuse me, go ahead. That's what I was wondering. We need a second motion, right?
Okay.
Do I have a motion then to accept the LCAP in its entirety? We have a motion by Mr. Fleury in its entirety. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Rick. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. And no. Opposed?
No.
Four aye and two nay. Thank you. Item two is the MCAA LCAP approval. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts Local Control and Accountability Plan.
Well, I'd like to say hello to the board, Gay, and the cabinet. Last week, I also presented an LCAP, Marysville Charter Academy's LCAP for next year. So I'm here today to do the same as Gay and ask you if you have any questions. Further questions, it hasn't been changed really. And then if not, or after that, I'm asking you to approve it, please. So, any questions?
Board, questions? None? It's usually a good sign.
I agree.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Do we have a...
I'll make a motion that we approve MCAA's LCAP.
We have a motion by Mr. Boom to accept MCAA's LCAP. Do I have a second? Mr. Fleury seconds it. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It passes unanimously. Business Services, Resolution 2013-14/35, Education Protection Account. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board disclose the Education Protection Account, EPA, allocations for both the district and MCAA for 2013-14 and 2014-15 school years.
This item is a requirement under Proposition 30, which obviously you know extended supplemental taxes for the next few years. We have to use this money for non-administrative purposes, so they have to be used to support classroom instruction. So we're proposing to use it for salaries for teachers and whatnot. And the difference in the past model was used to have state revenue limit funding was broken into two different parts. Now it's LCFF funding. You had your local property taxes and state aid. Now it's broken up into three components. You have local property taxes, state aid, and then revenue from Proposition 30, which is the Education Protection Account. So we have to earmark that money for non-administrative purposes.
Thank you, sir. Any questions of the staff? If not, can we now consider the Resolution 2013-14/35? Do I have a motion?
I'll move to approve Resolution 2013-14/35.
We have a motion to approve by Mr. Reck. Do I have a second? Second, Mr. Danable. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. 2014 adopted budget approval. The purpose of the adopted agenda item is to request the board approve the district's 2014/15 adopted budget.
Same as what was presented last week during the public hearing. There's been no changes. Obviously, there will be changes throughout the year as we have unaudited actuals. We'll come before the board in September. Any adjustments we'll also bring before the board and make adjustments by first interim, which we'll bring to the board around December. So this would adopt the budget as it's presented now with the understanding that changes will be made during the year and brought before the board. And I could answer any other questions that weren't answered last week.
Questions to staff? Board? If not, can we entertain a motion for 2014-15 adopted budget?
I'll make a motion to approve the adopted budget.
We have a motion of approval from Mr. Boom and a second by Mr. Danable. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Item three is a public hearing, revised removal action work plan for the Hamilton Smartsville property. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board hold a public meeting or hearing concerning the revised removal action work plan, RAW, for the Hamilton Smartsville property.
Just a clarification. This is the schoolhouse property that we haven't used for years and years, but...
No.
No. Okay.
This
This would be the site that's been earmarked for the new intermediate school, the Dr. Jack Stokes Intermediate School.
Okay.
Have we received any public comments, written comments or anything? None? Okay.
This is just a motion to hold the public hearing. Any other questions, board members? If not, do I have a motion to close the public hearing? A motion by Mr. Danable to close the public hearing. Do I have a second?
Sir.
A second by Mr. Harris. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Item 4, restructuring of the facilities department. This is a discussion item.
Good evening, board and superintendent. We're going to present some options tonight. I know it says recommendations, but it's really options. Obviously, the board took action to eliminate the facilities department as it currently sits. And so we'll kind of go over what we currently have. And we have a director of facilities who will be working with the district through June 30th, and that position will be eliminated at that time. A construction manager who his position will be eliminated through June. However, we'll probably have to keep him on a couple months to finish the Ella Elementary construction project, as well as an assistant project manager we'll have to keep on for that same period just to tie out that last major bond project. And we have an administrative secretary, 3, who works for the department, who effectively that position will be eliminated June 30th. What I wanted to present you is to see the different areas of responsibility. And you can see that from the director to the administrative secretary, they all handle different duties. Some are bond construction related, such as program management, well, that's bond construction program. There are other things that are going to remain, such as closing out projects with DSA, the Division of State Architects, the Office of Public School Construction is still conducting audits on our projects. There's non-bond facility projects, such as the security camera and Proposition 39, the Energy Clean Jobs Act, that will continue. So there are things that need to be done. Obviously, on the far right, they're doing a lot of the clerical and office duties that accompany any facility project. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of bureaucratic steps that must be taken in the state of California when you create structures that will house students, as you know. So that's our current structure. Obviously, the bond is wrapping up its activities, at least for the foreseeable future. We don't have that money, that local bond revenue, to fund those facility projects. Now, the short term, and this isn't as much a recommendation as an option, and the reason I put short term is it can be a short term solution, and then there's a long term solution, or we can do the long term solution now. It's really up to what the board, the direction the board wants to provide. In the short term, you know, we do have the option of bringing someone or a firm, really, that has expertise in facilities to assist and analyze what organizational structure we need now that the bond's not going to be around. If you look at the areas of responsibility, they're essentially the same as what the director was doing, with the caveat that they're going to come in here and really prepare a recommendation, analyze and consider what we need in terms of personnel to continue the activities that are required under our facilities. Regardless of a bond construction program, we have facilities that need to be addressed with both smaller projects and ongoing maintenance projects. Part of what facilities does, too, is to coordinate with maintenance and determine deferred maintenance programs. We have $820,000 next year. We need to make sure that money is as efficiently used as possible. We need to get those security cameras installed after we go out to bid on that. We need to really move our energy efficiency program ahead. I've been visiting a lot of schools. Principals have been great. Every school I visited, they've taken me around. We've walked the facilities. There's a lot of buildings that have air conditioning on or other utilities that are operating when there are no students right now. There's no staff in there. I understand if there's staff or students, but you're spending money on something that is not being used. If you look at our budget, which we just passed, the biggest expense we have outside of our people expenses, so our salaries, our statutory benefits, our health and welfare benefits, is our utilities. That is definitely something that is very crucial and essential to having a well-functioning facilities program. We do not have that right now. So while we're still going to have the construction manager around to finish the Ella Elementary project in the short term, and we do have that, if you go back to this slide, we do have the administrative secretary who's going to be leaving, but you still have that assistant project manager. One short-term solution we're looking at, some kind of facilities technician, somebody that can take, if you look at both those duties on those clerical side and then really the support side, which is essential in something that is, I mean, with all the regulatory agencies, all the amount of documents that must be produced, the contracts, the bids that have to coordinate with purchasing, there's a lot of documents that need to be. And you guys obviously know, you understand the importance of getting things correct, watching every line. I mean, it's a lot of work, and it has to be very diligent. Our idea is to combine that. So that's not only something we look at the short term, it's also something we look at the long term, and I'll get to that slide. So that's an idea that we've been talking about, and something that we think needs, there has to be somebody there clerically. And although the assistant project manager is going to be there till the end of August, by the time you would fly a position like this or the board would accept a new job description, it's going to take a couple months to get somebody in that seat at least. So that would help us provide the continuity of all those things that we were talking about. Now, where Eric Hall and Associates comes in the short term, you're bringing in somebody that has expertise in facilities, that would be objective, obviously, and try to give us the best solution, but it comes at a cost. The reality is I got a proposal. I know they'll do good work, and they'll be able to continue what we're doing ongoing and provide a solid recommendation, because they, quite frankly, have a lot of experience. But that cost is substantial. $1,400 a day plus $250 in expenses. Okay, that's $1,650 a day. They would come in 2 days a week, $16,800 a month. So if you continue that and you give them 2 to 3 months to continue the ongoing operations and make a recommendation, there's obviously a heightened cost to that. That being said, they do have experience. Eric Hall, as the president, would be one of the primary people that would be working on at the district. He was a CBO at San Ygito Union High School. They had a very large bond program, built a lot of schools. He served as an interim CBO in many districts, and he's primarily based out of San Diego, but he's up here a lot because he's heavily involved in CASH, which is the Coalition for Adequate School Housing. He was the chair from 2002 to 2004. He's a faculty member for the CASH Leadership Academy, and he also is a mentor and instructor for both the CASBO and FICMAT CBO programs. I know when I went through the FICMAT CBO program, he did a whole day on facilities, was Mr. Hall. He was the person that provided. So he is a foremost expert in facilities. There's no doubt about it. But again, it comes at a price, and the reason I say that to you is because I have to give you full information so you can make an informed decision. Another associate that he has with him, David Randolph, would also help, and it's a little bit, he's more on the construction side, but with construction wrapping up, he would help a little bit of the project management, because there are still some projects that need to be done. He was an associate bond program manager for Eastside Union High School District, which is over $500 million program. So he has extensive experience, 30 years in construction. He's a licensed general contractor as well, and he actually went through that CASH Leadership Academy. A couple other support staff that would help in case Eric or David couldn't be here because of some other obligations. Bob Nicholson was a senior director for the San Diego County Office of Education, so he has extensive experience in construction, worked for an architecture firm as well. And then Mike Wise was a general contractor, actually worked for Escondido Union School, Unified School District as a GC, so he was being hired by them to oversee a lot of their projects. And then he was hired by the district and worked another 18 years as their project and construction manager. So they have the experience, they have people that have done it in many different districts, so that expertise could lend a recommendation. However, if the board feels comfortable moving forward, there are ways we can make that structure work in a more rapid fashion, and maybe a less cost fashion, and so that's why we're kind of presenting two options. You can do the short term, the long term, or just do the long term. Now, depending on what you call it, director, coordinator, it's going to take a little bit of a different responsibility list than what was done before. You're still going to have program management in the sense that you're going to plan if there's a future program, because you always have to assess facilities with that outside look. You know, we talk about the 10-year master plan, but you have to start, what do we need? What essentially do we need in the district for our facilities, and where are we going as a district with our with our mission, our vision, our goals, the things that are represented in the LCAP. And we work backwards from there to start planning on where we're going to be. And there might not be a bond program, obviously, now, but that's something we'll always have to do. A lot of projects need to be closed out, and that's a direct benefit to the board, because we don't want to have projects that aren't closed out, that aren't DSA certified. Quite frankly, that protects the district and the board itself. There's going to be those non-bond facility projects. We've got the planning money from Prop 39. We need to get moving on our energy efficiency projects, and obviously the security projects, and really deferred maintenance too. They need to coordinate with maintenance, assess the facilities, see where the needs are, and prioritize and develop a plan, really a 5-year plan, and start working with maintenance to make those things. Maintenance does, we have a lot of talent here in our maintenance department. However, there are certain projects that require those approvals that, again, somebody with a facilities background is going to have to handle, quite frankly. It's very technical. There's expertise. I will obviously lend support to whoever's there, but it's somebody that needs to be dedicated to this function. They also need to continue to report to the board, the Bond Oversight Committee, for a small amount of time, and then other stakeholders as we try to ramp up our efforts and let people know what we're doing in our facilities. We might not have a local bond, but we want to continue to supply information to people so that they understand what's going on at their schools. And then surplus property, obviously we had a report about environmental findings at a vacant site that could be a site for future construction. These surplus property matters need to continue. We need to manage those and move forward on those. And then the other part I put in there is the energy efficiency program. Because one idea, if you look at that second box, is you can, as part of Prop 39, and we have this flow of money every year, over $400,000 every year to support these programs, and we have to show a 5% return on our investment, but you can use that money to hire an energy manager internally. And what the energy manager would do is, first and foremost, they're really the PR, the promotion efforts of energy conservation, because one person alone cannot help us save energy. And not only does that help us financially, it helps us just from a global citizen standpoint. We can make better citizens of our students. We can adopt programs at our schools that teach how to be more of a conservationist when it comes to these important matters. Now, that's a big effort. They're going to have to work with staff. They're going to have to work with teachers. They're going to have to work with the maintenance staff. They're going to have to work with custodial staff, work with the administration at the sites to really change a culture. And that's a lot of work. So that requires, too, a day-to-day management. We have these energy management systems. We have all this construction, and we have systems that you can control, obviously through a portal online. But who's doing it? I'm going to the sites. The air's on. Nobody's doing it. Plus, we have air systems that some are hot and then some are really cold and they're not operating. We need somebody to manage that system and really be there to help not only provide the savings, but to provide the ideal learning environment for students. They can also explore options for energy-related rebates and grants. I've been a part of things where there's stuff that you can do. Irrigation system controls. I've done before landscaping to have more indigenous plants. So that allows our grounds to start working on other items that are of high need. We have areas that flood on campuses. They can devote more time to that. We can make lower maintenance type of vegetation areas, more with succulents and types of plants that are require less water as well, which saves money on water. There's a lot of different things. There's controls. There's stuff we can look into. This person, obviously, if there's an opportunity for solar, we'll look into it. This is the kind of person that would help lead that. Also, they assist in energy program planning, and the reason I say that is because ultimately a lot's going to have to come from whoever runs that department. So not only will they be running facilities, but they're really running an energy management program. You pay firms. There's firms out there that cost a significant amount of money that will help train this person. Significant amount of money. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars, because you're going to set a baseline on this is what we spend on utilities and really what our consumption is, and you're going to save off that consumption. Because regardless of how prices increase, you would have been spending more if you consume at that same level. So they reduce consumption, so they get paid off of your savings, in theory. Somebody would have to really direct them and stay on top of them and help them get the training. We'd have to buy software to manage all these expenses. So this is something that where you can spend restricted dollars that are just on energy projects, and save money on the general fund and also create more conscious, culture in our district from our staff and our students. So these are options we have and we can explore, but you're going to need somebody to lead those efforts. Obviously, I will assist in everything in every department that I oversee. I'm going to help all directors, but I can't just be in one place. I need to be with everyone and really make sure that all departments are aligned to the goals of the district. So, you know, those are options, and I just wanted to give you information. So I'll open it up to any questions. I can go back and go over any details you'd like. But, again, there's no perfect plan. It's about what the board really feels comfortable with moving forward.
Could we quit? Have some time, like a week or so?
Oh, yeah, this is a discussion only.
Yeah.
Yeah, and any questions now?
How many positions will that be?
Well, it depends what you want to do. If you wanted to have not explore the energy position, you would have somebody that could run the department and somebody to help them on the clerical. If the energy management, and we decide we'd have to go through the Prop 39 process, so it would take a little while to get the energy manager in place, but that would be funded by separate funding, and that would be three positions, so two to three.
And then once we decide, there'll be clear-cut job descriptions written for them.
Well, yeah, they would come before the board to be approved. Yeah, I assume, Mr. Yes, carry on. I mean, so you'll see exactly what, and there would be a process to bring those people in. We could pay a firm, you know, to do that. There's a lot of reasons to have a firm and objective side come in. The staffing side, I don't think they'll have a much different recommendation. There are other things we're going to have to do to really reassess where we are in our master plans, where our progress is, and get people's input. So there are ways that, you know, having people outside of the district can help. So, but in terms of the structure, yeah, I wouldn't say it's necessary, but again, if the board wants to provide direction at this time or another time later after they've digested the information, you know, we need something to address these issues. It's not going to go, if facilities are a major need for this district. Done a lot of construction, there's still a lot that needs to be done.
I personally would rather see us go with a long-term structure recommendation of some sort. It's way too costly, and you really don't get the bang for your buck out of hiring an outside consultant firm and bringing them in. But in the short term, we don't have a lot of projects going right now. The bond money is until we issue that last set of, or that remaining, I think, $12 million. There's really not a lot of bond money left. Could you combine the director, coordinator, and energy manager together? And right now we have four people in that department. That would make the department like two people instead of three.
What you could do is have, like, when I kind of look at the long-term recommendations, you have like a director of both facilities and energy management. Then eventually, once you explore the Prop 39, you could bring in the energy. No, maybe not even a manager, but somebody to get out in the field and really hit all the things, because you can start at a high level and address some of the energy items, but you're going to need somebody to really go out and work with staff and be at the sites and really work their regular schedules. Like, they have to do shutdowns on like Saturday mornings, Friday nights. So I'd say in the long term, if you really want to commit to an energy program, you have to bring somebody there. But yes, that director could handle at least the initial efforts and get that program going. And that would consume a lot of their time because they would plan it before the energy manager comes. So it could be 6 months from now, quite honestly. So, yeah, I mean, you could do that.
Ms. Ferrer?
Obviously, we have people that are doing some of these things now in our maintenance and our other department leaders. Every time I see that permanent down there, that bothers me a little bit. I don't want to step into the unknown all at once. And I think as Mr. Boom stated too, that some of these things could probably be consolidated. This is only just for discussion anyway tonight, but I think we need to really spend some time thinking about what we need and the direction we're going to reach those goals.
Yeah, And I'd like to see some costs associated with, you know, what would it cost for a director coordinator? What would it cost for an energy manager? What would it cost for a facilities technician? You know, just so we can kind of put some numbers with it also.
We can give you at least a proposed range. Or
right, right.
And then the other part of it, too, is I do want to caution that without somebody in facilities handling all those certifications, those audits and those things, although we don't have projects going, you need somebody there. So that may necessitate the use of that firm if you don't have somebody there. And I understand you want to do the long term, so you may need at least a little bit of that short term solution if it's going to take more time to make the decision. But it doesn't have to be to quite the extent. I mean, we'll minimize it as much as possible.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Well done.
Yeah, I just would encourage the board members to, if you have specific questions or concerns or want to talk about it more with Mr. DiGiulio, to please do so. Our next meeting is not until the end of July. That's a long span of time before we're able to begin to put this plan together. So the more you can meet with him and have your questions answered sooner rather than later, I think that would be a great idea.
So is there going to be a recommendation brought from staff forward at that time, at that meeting?
Would you be considering bringing one by the July 22nd meeting?
You're going to have it, like I said, an interim solution. If it takes more time, I can present the interim solution. The short term, I guess, would have to be, maybe we can truncate it a little bit, but that short term solution at that time, and it'll give me a little more time to familiarize myself, too, with everything that's going on there. I've had some exposure, and I'll attend the construction meeting to make sure the construction projects continue, but... Yeah, we'll bring a short-term solution, and we'll give you some numbers for the long-term.
Right. You're looking for us to give you a direction to pursue, continue pursuing, correct?
Yeah, so my understanding is that that's the avenue I was going to pursue.
Oh, I know.
Correct.
Well,
know.
For the long-term, yes.
Right, and what we wanted to do was to bring forward two possible scenarios, one that's kind of a Band-Aid, and then one that is more moving towards a long-term solution that we wanted to get your feedback as to which you would prefer to see us go toward. You know, as Mr. DiGiulio pointed out, there is a significant expense to bringing in a consultant. Certainly, they have a world of experience and can help us move through, but to shut down the department completely is not wise, nor is it prudent.
And I understand two of the employees, their contracts have been extended as we go through this, two of them?
Just to finish the one construction project, because they are primarily there for the bond construction projects, but in terms of the continuity of continuing the program and closing out with all the certifications and working with the architects and doing all the day-to-day stuff, there's not going to be somebody there. So I can try to negotiate in terms of the assistance we need to the minimum that we do need, but we have to keep the boat afloat until we find that more long-term solution. I don't know if permanent's the right word, but long-term solution.
And as we restructure this, the employees that are left, they have a chance to apply?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be open, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Before we adjourn to next meeting, July 22nd, I would like to close this meeting in memory of a longtime teacher from Yuba Gardens and other schools, I believe, MCAA, Mr. Keith Buck, in his memory.